I'll stand. beautiful music. Thank you, Marjorie and Gordon. Appreciate that. Beautiful. Be in the presence of God. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Amen. I think that was very timely with what Randy was talking about, being the light. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, right, to see the light. See who you really are. Do you realize how blessed we are? Aren't we blessed? We are so blessed that we don't realize all God has done for us. Me and Ashley went to meet Pablo's for lunch today, and that's a surprise. And we're sitting there eating, and this little young server gets talking to us. He's 21 years old, just kind of shares a little bit of his story with us. You know, he's from Guatemala and talks about how there is nothing and how blessed America is. He's away from all of his family. They're still down there, his mom and dad. And he lost two brothers. Two brothers got killed due to violence in that country. And his mom wanted a better life for him to get him out of that mess. And he was talking about how that just they work and work and work hard down there for nothing, just absolutely have hardly nothing. And I got thinking how blessed that we are, not only materialistic-wise, because we are. We all in here have a place to live. We have something we drive. We have food in our houses. We have people that love us. And we are blessed that way. But I got thinking even deeper how blessed we are spiritually that we are the people of God. We are God's people. And we're going to talk about that in the book of Numbers tonight, about another group of people, the Israelites, that was God's people. And the blessing of God was upon them. The promise of God was upon them. And there wasn't nothing going to stop the promise of God. And I want to tell you, encourage you tonight, there is nothing that can stop the blessing and the promise of God in your life. Nothing. No enemy can take that away or disrupt it, because, as Randy said, each one of us, God has a plan for. From the little ones to the big ones. From the young ones to the old ones. None of y'all are old or not, but you know what I'm saying. God has a plan. And that plan will be fulfilled and it will be realized. Now, this is a story in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. Have I got my little reading glasses laying there somewhere? Thank you. My little girly ones broke, so I don't have them. My flower ones, they snapped. This is the story, Numbers 22, of the prophet and a donkey. And you've always heard me say that God used a donkey to talk. I've said that many times throughout the years. If God used a donkey to talk, and if ever you wondered, is that really true? We're going to read about it right here. It's really true that God used a donkey to talk. I had a different title for my message, but it would have offended some of you, so I didn't use it. You can imagine what it might have been. It was really funny, but it might have offended some of you, so I didn't use it. It started to say God can even use a, you know, but I didn't want to offend nobody. So anyway, I thought that would have been priceless. Isn't that good, Gail? Oh, but seriously, God can use anybody and anything to fulfill his plan. So we're going to get into this, and let me give you a little background what's happening. The children of Israel are on their journey to the promised land. They've been delivered out of Egypt. They're on their journey. They've done conquered several places and several cities, and they're on the brink. In this chapter, they're on the brink of crossing over into the promised land. They're right there at the banks in Moab, which is in Jericho or in Jordan, and they're getting close. And they've done won all the battles they fought, and they're marching right across these lands to inherit the promise God gave them. Verse 1. The children of Israel set forward, and they pitched in the plains of Moab on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Another people, another country, another tribe. They'd seen what Israel had done, destroyed them and took over their city or marched through. Moab was afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, the ox, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at this time. He sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, the Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against us. Come now, therefore, I pray, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land, for I would that he would blessed is blessed, and him who thou curseth is cursed. Leave it right there a minute, Brandon. So what's happening here is the king is calling Balaam, who was a known prophet, but he wasn't really a prophet of God. We'll see here in a minute how God did talk to Balaam, but he wasn't a true prophet of God. He's calling this prophet because he was also practiced soothsaying and all that stuff. And he is asking for this prophet of darkness and soothsaying to come and put a curse upon the people of Israel so they will not prevail against him. Now, we know that there is a real power in the evil world and darkness. And it is important that our words are used wisely. That's why we bless things. That's why we anoint things. That's why we dedicate our children. I did a car dedication before service tonight for someone that got a car. We put oil around it. We dedicated the car and prayed over it. It's important that we use those words to bless things. I do believe that our words have power to bring blessings or to bring cursings. The Bible talks about that. That our words can be words of life. They can be words of destruction based on what we say and the attitude we say them in. And so he called this Balaam to come put a curse up on the people. Now, just keep your place there, but I want to, next slide. This goes back to Genesis, and I want to reread the promise to the children of Israel of what God told them. Genesis 13. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I shall give it to you and your descendants. How long? Forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, can any of us number the dust of the earth? Then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. That's the promise. So now here they are in numbers, a little while down the road, and they've done march through several cities. And they get here to Moab. And the king thinks a curse will stop them from coming through whenever God has made a promise. That's why my title is that, whatever it was, what's my title? Nothing can stop the promise of God. Yes, I had the other title in my head, Gail. Nothing can stop the promise of God. Nothing can stop it. So here, he's already declared, this is going to be your land for your descendants forever. Well, what if a Red Sea pops up? Oh, well, you'll cross it. Well, what if the people whine and complain? You'll still go through. What if they revert to idol worship and back into fornication and living wickedly and making false sacrifices? Guess what? The land's waiting on you. You're going to inherit it. Well, what if someone tries to hex us, tries to curse us? You're going to still go through it. Remember the guy, Andy Griffith, thought he was hexed, the little guy? They drew numbers out of his hat. He couldn't even win that ticket. They drew the hat size out. Remember that poor guy? Could not win. Everybody thought he had a hex. Barney wouldn't go near him. He's hexed. Here we see that even a curse, as we read, is not going to stop what God had planned for these people. So now we pick back up in verse 7. The elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with rewards of divination. Of course, this is, you know, spiritual, divine things happening. In their hand. And they came to Balaam, and they spake to him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak to me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came to Balaam and says, what men are there with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Preadventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. I'm not going to let you do this. You don't have my permission to go curse them because they're blessed. So let's see what Balaam does here. Balaam rose up in the morning. He said to the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the prince of Moab rose up, and they went to Balaam, and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again more princes, more honorable than the ones before, thinking that would make a difference. And they came to Balaam, and said to him, thus saith Balak, the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray you, hinder you from coming unto me. For I will promote you unto very great honor. I will do whatever you sayest to me. Come therefore, I pray, curse me, this people. So now he's offering promotion, more money, more riches. Just come curse them. Sent better help, more higher help to say, look, come curse these people. Thinking that that was going to stop what God was going to do. Verse 18, and Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry you this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me. And God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto you, that you shall do. In other words, go ahead and go, but keep your mouth shut unless I speak. Don't do your own thing. Balaam rose up in the morning. He saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. Now, let me explain this. You got to do a little research. God told him to go. But what he's mad about, and you got to kind of do a little reading into this, is he was probably talking along the way and saying stuff along the way. And that's what got God mad. Because God told him to shut up. Don't say nothing unless I tell you to. If we would learn that lesson of only saying what God tells us and not our own thing, it would save us a lot of trouble. So he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding up on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the donkey, hit him, to turn her back in the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. He's probably getting pretty upset, right? Why ain't this donkey going where I'm telling it to go? Because the donkey can see more than he can see at this point. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either the right or the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto you that thou hast smitten me these three times? Now, there's a lot of skeptics say, man, this Bible can't be true. Jonah in a whale, a donkey talks, a Red Sea parts, a boat floats in a flood. We know God can speak however he wants to speak. And he caused Balaam to hear this donkey. Whether the donkey was an audible voice to where everybody around could hear it, or whether the donkey just went like that, but somehow he heard the words, that don't matter. That wasn't a very good imitation, I'm sorry. What matters is he heard words from the donkey. God used this vehicle to convey his message. He used this lowly donkey to say, why are you hitting me? What are you doing? Do you find it surprising it's not recorded here that Balaam thought it was odd his donkey was talking to him? Balaam said to the donkey, now he's talking back to the donkey. He said to the donkey, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for I would kill you. I mean, he's so angry, and he addresses the donkey back and says, if I had a sword, I'd kill you for what you've done. And the donkey said to Balaam, he talks again, am I not your donkey, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was until this day? Was I ever not to do unto thee? He said, no. Then the Lord opened the eyes. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart so I can see Eeyore. Look at this. He said he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, his sword drawn in his hand. He bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, wherefore hast thou smitten your donkey these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee because your way is perverse before me. God can use any means or any source to stop us and to keep us in his will. Doesn't matter what that source is. We've seen it over and over, from the widow woman at the little last little meal of oil she had, she kept pouring and pouring, and God multiplied it, to a little boy's lunch who fed 5,000 plus women and children and all that stuff and had leftovers. We see how God takes the impossible or any source and uses it for his glory. Remember, Joshua called the sun to stand still for a day. Talking about the light, man, stood still for a day. And they've done scientific research. I saw a documentary on this where they did research to where there was a 24-hour lapse way back in time. They can't explain what happened. We know what happened. The Word of God happened. And God used something he created, that sun, to benefit Joshua in that moment. God can use what he used, a slingshot and a stone, right, to kill a ferocious beast. He used David's hands to slay a lion and a bear. He used a fish like Aquaman. See, I grew up in the 80s, you know, 70s and 80s, so I remember Aquaman. I loved Aquaman. He could telepath those animals under the ocean. Had them circles. Remember? He would talk to the fish and they would do what he said. I imagine God, you know, and there comes that fish ready to just take Jonah right up. God used that captivity, that fish, to preserve Jonah and the people of Nineveh. So God can use anything. So he's there. He says, your way is perverse. That's why I'm stopping you. And the donkey saw me, and he turned from me three times. And unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain you and saved her life. God saying, she hadn't stopped, I'd have killed you, and the donkey had been safe. You'd have been slain. This donkey preserved your life. You're beating the very thing and being angry at the very thing that saves your life. How many times do we get angry at our Creator, the very one who saves our life? We're beating the wrong bush. We're beating the wrong thing. We're putting blame where it doesn't belong. Whenever God's job has always been to preserve his people, redeem his people, save his people, and give us a future and a hope like he told Jeremiah. That's our destiny. That's why we're blessed. That's why we're called. And sometimes God puts things in our way to stop us and preserve us from our own selves and our own will and for our own good. And we don't always understand that. We don't always like that. But I think that God knows more than we do, and I'm thankful for that. What verse am I on? 34. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease you, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak to you, you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And when Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is the border of Arnon, which is the utmost coast. And Balak said to Balaam, did I not earnestly send unto you to call you? Wherefore camest thou not to me? Am I not able to promise thee to honor? Yes, she's dead. And Balaam said to Balak, I am coming to you. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak. They came to Kirjathu-Hosathah, whatever that city is. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and the princes that were with him. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam, brought him up into the high place of Baal, and there he seen the uttermost part of the people. Now we're going to stop here because there's a second part to this. We'll do it next week, next chapter. I want to give you more homework, Brandon.
word of God that speaks to him on what to do. He went against that. God tried to stop him. God looked with his eyes now, and God's talked to him. What does he do? Now, I got the scripture on the reading cup. For some people, they may say, well, did this donkey experience really happen? Look at the scripture I found here. This is pretty interesting. This is 2 Peter 2:15. We're talking 60-some years after Christ. So we're going all the way from Numbers, which is 1,400 years before Christ, to about 60 years after Christ. Look what the Bible says. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. Not Eeyore. Beor. Who loved the wages of unrighteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity, a dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. Isn't that interesting? So if this event didn't really happen, why is it recorded by Peter? Because they heard it. Heard this story. Been taught this story. And to me, it's relevant enough that it was even mentioned again in the New Testament to verify, call him by name, called out the donkey, called out the prophet, called out the story to a T. We're talking 2,000 years difference between Numbers and between Peter. Well, let's do about 1,500 years. I mean, think about that. So I think this really verifies. I just found that jewel that I thought, man, that's really neat. But it talked about that dumb donkey in 2 Peter. Oh, no, it's been awesome, wasn't it? He's the original Mr. Ed, right? The original Mr. Ed. The whole moral of this, we'll get into what happened next week, the moral of this right here, so far, we've learned, is that this prophet was being offered wages to curse the people from coming in so that Moab could destroy them. But God's got a different plan for the people of Israel. And the curse that's trying to come against them is not stronger than the blessing that's already upon them. As I put on Facebook today, God can stop their steps and shut their mouths in order to fulfill his plan. God can stop the marching orders. God can, remember the one guy? Well, actually, it was a couple of instances, but there was a disciple, John the Baptist's dad, right? Was muted. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't he muted before John was born because he wasn't told? An angel muted him. He couldn't speak. He shut his mouth. Wouldn't that be great for some people? Oh, that would be great. Wouldn't it? Just go and shut their mouth. Just for a little bit. So I get a little bit of peace. Oh, God, shut their mouth. Stop their steps. Because you got a different plan. God can do that. God can use any source, any way that he wants. I was sharing with Von Seal, and I know this is a very short before, but I think it's so relevant to what God did in my life. I went to visit Von Seal that we're doing for a while, talking to her, and by the way, she's got you some dum-dums that I just sent you. She sent us potatoes and cucumbers, by the way. So anyway, I was talking to her, and we're talking about the Walmart day, and again, she's going to Walmart, we're talking about the Walmart day, we're talking about some different people that we missed, and people that died, and I told her, you know what? Honestly, it was really God's hand that put me where I was. And Gail, you'll appreciate this story because you told me your story of how God, through the years, promoted you to this position you shouldn't have been in. When I was in the commander training 6-year-old kid, 6 months with the company, brand new, going to one of the high volume stores in the state border, still is. And I remember getting that job, I remember going back to the group and said, "Hey, no way to come out of time." And I told Von Steele, I said, "Von Steele, that was God's hand to put me there. Because putting me there is one of the foundations of this beginning. And if I'd have been in Silva, I doubt we would have a church in space." Just saying. So I know God's hand was on it. It was supernatural. And I know some of you may not understand that, but you don't think how the retail world works that way. But I should not have gotten that position, that store, at that time. But God's favor and God's blessing. Now think about what he said here about he had blessed the people of Israel, blessed. God's hand was on me. That's how I felt. God had blessed me. God's hand was on me. That's where God wanted me to be. And I was there for 5 years. And there's still employees there now. I hired employees in 98 for that store. And there's a lot of them that I hired still there since 98. And I'm like, that is so amazing. That God not just didn't put me there for me, but he put me there for them. Because you know what I did after I hired? I staffed the whole food side, the whole grocery side. I sat in a hotel and interviewed people and hired the whole food side. And you know who I went after? The food line guy. I called the food line boys. I says, "Hey, what you making for croissant?" I told my store manager, "I'm look, food guys make a little bit more than GM do. You want me to? I need to go to have a hire. Produce people, the dairy clerks, they make a little bit of money." He gave me the liberty to do that, and I've got people still there. So not only was it for me, it was for their life and their livelihood. They're still there 20 years later. God's hand was in all of that because his blessing was upon me. His blessing's on you. That's why you're here. That's why you're alive. That's why you're not gone yet. Because his blessing is on you. And in the hardest of times, we can say, "I am the royal priesthood that Peter tells me I am. I am a chosen generation. I am a peculiar people called out to show his marvelous works to give him praise. I'm called for a purpose and I'm called for a reason." And no matter how many people at Walmart behind my back sharing cursed me, when I was there, I know you didn't say it didn't stop me from being covered. No matter how people come against you spiritually, they don't stop from being the elect of God and the call of God. They can talk about you, they can let you down, they can ridicule you, they can whatever they can do, but they can't take away the blessing of the Lord that's upon your life. You know the song, the new song, like,